This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're looking at all the metrics, all the data, looking at all the numbers when it comes to the Dogs taking on Texas this weekend. And before we get into an NFL blitz, we're live up here at Flowery Branch. We're going to hear from Coach here coming up in less than 20 minutes, so stay tuned. Raheem Morris will stop by. It's Seattle this weekend. Jake Matthews is going to stop by as well a little bit later on this hour. Mike, you were talking about in the break there some things that might be concerning to Dog fans.
Well, you brought up yesterday, you know, what's going on after that South Carolina performance, just how many penalties Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban's head would spin if they were in the 100th, over 100th in the rankings as far as penalties. Georgia, by the way, 429 yards in penalties, 43 penalties for nearly 430, and they come in ranked at number 93 in the nation. So that doesn't sound like disciplined Kirby Smart football. Texas has a lot of penalties, but a lot better than what Georgia's throwing out there. Texas comes in at number 62 with 306 yards in penalties. So that's something you got to tighten up. And you mentioned it yesterday, Alabama. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that Nick Saban probably under his breath is going, you got to be freaking kidding me, because it's not the way he ran at 107th in Division One, what we used to call Division One as far as penalty yards.
Yeah, this is why, and I know Alabama fans, you think I don't like Bama.
Why do you hate Alabama so much?
That's not true. Hey, but since the second, here's the reason. Since the second quarter of the Georgia game, Alabama's been outscored, okay? Second quarter of the Georgia game, when they jumped out on them, they've been outscored 99-82. Does that sound like a top five team to you?
No.
It doesn't.
Now, and we've talked about, you know, the
and that's South Carolina. That's Vandy,
yeah,
Mike.
We're not like you're going up against, you know, the elite offenses. I mean, if you were playing against Ole Miss,
yes.
But then Ole Miss has come back to earth. And just flips out of the argument. It's interesting. In the top 25 and teams maybe you'll see in the playoffs, the teams at the least penalized, Iowa State with just 166 yards of penalties comes in at number two.
Okay.
West Point, Army, number three in the country. Clemson's also in the top 25 as far as the least penalized. BYU's undefeated. They're one of the least penalized teams. So there's definitely some correlation. You know, again, you know, you don't have to keep it clean, but keeping it clean will definitely propel you perhaps into the college football playoff.
Well, Mike, you don't beat yourself,
right?
That's the thing. And you don't set yourself back. That's what I saw with Alabama last week against South Carolina, which is why it was so nerve-wracking. And if they do that against Tennessee on the road this weekend, you know, again, that's just a three-point game as we speak. That might be another L. We will see.
Right.
The problem with Tennessee is they've had a problem scoring in the last two games, which has not been the issue.
Their offense has really dried up. And one last note on the penalty situation. They've been living basically, some would say, a charmed life through the ACC officials, basically letting everything go. But Miami's one of the most penalized teams in the country as well.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Chris, I'm going to tell you right now, I know we give our picks Friday. I'm on Army. They're going to be 7-0 after this weekend, and I'm going to go ahead and jump on them. That's a really – it sounds crazy to even say, that's a really good football team. They are really good.
And we just said fundamentally sound, but, you know, not difficult to watch as in some years for the cadets.
I agree.
Or the Black Knights.
Black Knights, that's right. But I'm going to jump on them. We'll talk more about our picks coming up on Friday. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Hey. Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
East Carolina 3-3 at Army this weekend. Army is a now 16-point favorite. They were a 15-point favorite. Put me down. I know you think I'm crazy. They've covered every game. All right, with that said, Mike, let's talk about what's going on around the NFL. It all starts with the Jets. And yesterday we saw the you know, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers reunion. Let me hear Aaron Rodgers talk about him being critical of himself. I've not heard him be critical of himself. Have you?
No.
Okay.
I think if you watch my press conferences, I've started with myself. You know, I got to play better. I can't make that throw. I can't make that decision. That's the standard for everybody. But if you're looking at just that play, that's what the question was. What happened on that play? Well, it was two verticals to the right side, and Mike needed to get width to the red line.
So he throws Mike Williams under the bus. Mike Williams, soon to be ex-Jet, as they don't really need him in the wide receiver room now that Devontae Adams is here along with Garrett Williams, right? So, yeah, it would be interesting to see how Mike feels about this and if somebody puts a mic in his face today. But, yeah, that's Aaron. You know, some guys would say, yeah, there was some miscommunication or, you know, for instance, Zach Robinson talking about, you know, mentioning Kyle Pitts, detail-oriented. There's ways you can maybe mention it, but Aaron Rodgers, he went there. This guy screwed up, and then he trips, and he can't come back to the ball, and I get picked off, and it makes me look bad.
He did say that. By the way, I do not expect the Raiders to get rid of Max Crosby. I don't expect the Browns to move on from Myles Garrett. But I will tell you guys, the Giants, if they fall out, and by the way, they got a big game against the Eagles this weekend, and they might beat them. Who knows? The Eagles have been a mess. Sirianni might lose his head this weekend. Mike, what about Ojulari being potentially available at the trade deadline? Had two sacks in the last game for the Giants. He's been really good so far. But if they fall out of contention, that may be a guy that is not one of these big brand names but can get after the quarterback and maybe help.
I'm looking at his contract right now in case you're wondering for us. And, yes, I mean, I wouldn't put anything – say anything's off the table with the Giants. You got him? Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent, so it's a rental player. So if you want to give up like a 6-round pick, go get yourself some Ojulari and try to infuse some action in your D-line.
Let's hear from Devontae Adams since we heard from Aaron Rodgers, who's always critical of himself. What about Devontae? How's he feel about this thing?
I'm sure there's a few new, you know, little nuances, but for the most part, a lot of the same verbiage. Still the same OG right here, so should be able to pick up where we left off.
Okay. I don't feel that way. I mean, listen, guys. They had 69 touchdowns together in Green Bay. Right. 7 or 8 years together. Right. Mike, are they going to relive that? You're telling me he's going to catch 10 touchdowns this season?
I mean, can you go home again if Aaron Rodgers is your homeboy? I mean, yeah, it's a Hall of Fame career. It's looking like for Devontae Adams, still gets sidetracked, as we said yesterday. Again, you know, he's playing in Vegas. I think so. I mean, how quickly do they get him in there? I mean, he's going to be on the field. He's going to be playing. And there's some, non-verbals. If he's got a matchup, Aaron can look over. No, he's going to go to him. It's not to the level of, like, Patrick Mahomes and his receivers, but I think it's certainly you've seen these guys make some magic.
I agree, man. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, as we are live at Flyer Branch, Ticketmaster Studios, Mike, I think Mike Tomlin is making more issues for himself than he needs to. I want you to hear what he said about Russell Wilson taking first-team reps this week, and now everybody's assuming that Russ is going to get a chance to start. They play the Jets Sunday night. Here's Tomlin.
He is in consideration this week. We'll see where that leads us, man. Both guys at the quarterback position are scheduled to work tomorrow, and we'll just walk it day by day, all geared toward putting ourselves in best position to win the football game.
Yeah, why?
I don't get it.
Why?
I mean, you've got a good thing going. It's maybe not as sexy as it would be with Russell Wilson, but he's asking, Arthur Smith is asking him to do the job, and he's doing it. I don't get this. And especially for a guy that, you know, has had to deal with a lot of controversies over the years, now he's kind of creating one if you're saying that Russell Wilson's getting those first team reps.
Mike, that's how I feel. And by the way, he didn't have to say jack. No. If Russell's going to take first team reps, just do it in practice when nobody knows. And then if the media ask, hey, yeah, he's out there. I don't know. We'll see what
Unless
happens.
Arthur Smith comes to him and says, I think Russell's up to speed on what we're doing now. And there's a ceiling we've hit with Fields, which, I mean, you're in the playoffs. You're looking great. Why monkey around with something like that? I don't get it. Hey, bad news for NFL fans who enjoy, you know, just watching football at a regular time. The next TV package, apparently, up to 16 international games they're talking about. This is insane. There's an article in Pro Football Talk talking about the next round of bidding. I mean, how many more international games can we have, Carl? Isn't this getting a bit ridiculous?
Where are they going?
Well,
where are they going? Portuguese, Spain?
They're talking about other now. You're already on Amazon. You're already on Peacock. And potentially now more big money TV package looming and a chance to get more potential streaming. Everybody wants it. And it's obviously a moneymaker because we all sign off on it. But there's an article if you want to go in depth on it, talking about just expanding even more international. And get the platform for international games.
I'm not trying to sell you guys Netflix, but for example, those Christmas games are on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, you're not watching the Christmas games. I mean, to your point, Mike, and like everybody be like, oh, great, we got football. Well, unless you got Netflix, and then what are you going to do? You're going to get it, and then you're going to forget about it, like Mike and I always talk about, and then you're going to get charged for it, and you'll have Netflix for the next 6 months, and you'll be like, oh, I only got it for the football game. All right, man. Coach is going to join us. Raheem Moore, stay tuned. We got a lot more to come here at Flyer Branch. It's Dukes and Bello, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And follow this radio show, Dukes and Bell 92.9. Poll questions up. A lot of people are reacting. Mike, you said earlier, and we're just talking about this. Coach is going to come in here in just a few minutes, Raheem Morris, and we'll talk about our Falcons and this three-game win streak and a lot more. Stay tuned for that. But you were saying you're not hearing a lot of chirping. We're not saying that dog fans talk a lot of noise.
No, no, but just the confidence. I mean, yes. There's, you know, like if we had said, like, this week, the only thing, you know, early in the week, a guy's going, come on, man, we're just telling you, we give you the analysis. I know, again, full disclosure, 2 years ago, before that Oregon game, Crow and I made it sound like Oregon was like the five blocks of granite, right, with that offensive line. That was a big storyline. They had veteran leadership, sure. And Georgia went through them like poop through a goose. So we always try to give you all the angles on a story, and if you feel, and I think you and I agree, I don't like it, but I understand it. I would like to have a more balanced attack. Everyone just feels they're going to go right back to what they did against Alabama, and they're going to throw after Texas because Texas secondary has not seen an offense like what we're going to see with Carson back.
No doubt.
I don't like it, but I get it.
Yeah.
And Dork fans are kind of like a little, I got to be honest, they're a little freaked out after what happened in Tuscaloosa over that same game.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. I'll say this, and I'm reading this from Jason, and this is funny because it is somewhat true, but I have to be clear on this. He says, I'm just curious if Carl is going to root for the Longhorns. Yes, I am. He says, the only thing about Dukes and Bell drives me crazy. Both Mike and Carl have two college football teams they root for. Here's the deal. Nobody gets to choose where they grow up. And I've talked about this, okay?
Right.
When I was five, I wasn't going, if we don't move, I'm out of here.
Right.
Okay? You live where you live. You end up where you end up, more times than not, wherever your parents are, where the jobs took them. And you grow up with a certain love for certain teams. Now, when it comes to picking your school, for example, my daughter's now in Kentucky, right? Mike asked me this when she was going through the whole process of where do you want to go? Auburn, Georgia, right. Florida, right? And at the end of the day, I said, it's your choice. At no point did I press her to try to make sure that she went where I went. It's her experience. I want her to live whatever she wants to do. But at the end of the day, where you are and where you end up going to school a lot of times has to do with where you grow up. And it's very rare. Jersey Mike's our engineer. He grew up in Jersey. He went to school in San Francisco. That's rare that guys or girls do that. So I'm just saying, Jason, I hear you. But at the end of the day, most people growing up in Georgia, all right, it's why they want to go to Georgia.
Right. And that's why it's funny. We were talking about the other day with Georgia Tech and Georgia. And I had some Tech fans go, when's the last time you were at Bobby Dodd? Well, I had season tickets at Bobby Dodd. Now, granted, my wife went to Pitt and I went to Florida State. There was a reason behind getting the tickets, but we still root for Tech. But just be honest with you, a lot more of my friends are Georgia fans than Tech fans. The only guy, it's funny, like, well, why don't you go to more Tech games? Who am I going with? I mean, the only guy I know that I'm really good friends with is Chris Cotter. He's working for ESPN. So, and my other friends who went to Tech, like a lot of Tech alum, and I'm not trying to be a Weisenheimer, they live elsewhere because they're freaking rich.
Because they're rich.
You know, and they don't really come back.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're living in Europe or whatever. But no, I've gravitated towards Georgia, and I make no bones about it. We have fun with it. When FSU is terrible, I'm in Athens like I was this last weekend. But just to double down with Carl's point, yes, had I known I was going to be working in Atlanta for 26 of my years of my life.
You don't know where life takes you.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You don't know
right.
where life takes you.
You know, like, to my credit, I've totally disavowed the Mets over the last 10 years.
Well, what happened?
That was something that was a major connection as my childhood. Now I'm not going up there for the NLCS or if they made the World Series. It's the Braves are the team that I pull for. I'm invested with the Braves.
It's interesting for me only because as we talk about this again, waiting for Coach Ra to show up, and I'm addressing Jason's Twitter, and he's being fun, and he's a great listener, and he follows us and interacts with us. But my first Major League Baseball game, right, was a Braves game, which I had no idea years later that I would be talking and being about the Braves. One of my first NFL games was a Falcon game at Old Fulton County Stadium.
Right.
I didn't know as a kid because my grandmother, again, my dad was from Griffin, so we'd come, and I've talked about this. So the irony for me is it's been full circle. I've had a chance to now be here and be in a situation on a show, Mike, where we talk about all of these things that as a child I never thought that I'd be talking about,
right. And
it's really cool. But the other side of that is when my dad retired in Texas, we followed the Texas teams. And guess what? Growing up as a high school football player in Texas and a pretty damn good one, everybody wants to go to Texas. I'm just telling you right now.
Right.
And I know A&M's a great program. We're going to have Jake Matthews on here in just a little bit. He's an A&M guy. I respect everything. But as a kid, that was where you wanted to go. It wasn't TCU, all right? I'm sorry. It wasn't SMU because they were at that point they were coming off the death penalty. I'm just telling you what it is. It wasn't Houston. Right. So
you know, you can't apologize. Like I said, and I just think that, and it's not, it's like there's always three or four guys, and it's usually social media.
Yeah, but I do think it's fun to talk about in this situation because we're unique. We live here. We love it here. We have created a show, Mike, that connects with our audience. But the reality is, yeah, if you're asking me on one day of the year where Georgia's playing Texas, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Now, I had nothing to worry about with Florida State because I knew they were going to get their ever-loving butts whooped in that Orange Bowl, and I said as much on the radio. I had no interest in going down there to watch that humiliation, which I predicted, and that's where it went down. See, where it's funny. Where I get in trouble is I used to do events for the Florida State boosters. They don't even invite me because I said, I'm too negative.
Oh.
No, I'm a realist.
Gotcha.
I didn't buy into the Norvell magic. I didn't buy into the Norvell mistake. I don't like the way he calls his games. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm too close to it. You know, like if you're a Georgia fan, you don't like Bobo because, you know, you watch every game. But that's the thing. I've always been a pragmatic fan. I'm the fan where, yeah, I'm going to root, but I've never ever gone to any game I've rooted for thinking my team is going to beat the other guys by 30 freaking points. It's not the way I was raised. I was raised to be a realist. Okay, we do this well. They do that well. And that's what I think we bring to the radio. But if you want to sit there and go like, you know, like the old Bears, I think Georgia's going to win 500-2, Bob. That's just not, you're not going to get that on this show.
No.
We're keeping it real.
And I go to Georgia games every year, on the road, home. I was telling Mike, the Georgia Tech issue for me, and it's not even an issue. Every time I've paid lots of money to go see Georgia Tech, specifically play Georgia, it's been a blowout. At halftime, you're going, all right, oh, we're going to go drink. What are we going? I mean, it's not even respectable. Now, Brent Key hopefully turns the page.
I think he's
better,
on the right track. Yeah.
Right, I do too. But like, that part, that has been part of the problem. But I will say this. This team this year competes. I like what I'm seeing with this Georgia Tech team. They've been in every game. Guys, again, they got two L's. That they could easily have one L on the season, and I feel like this thing's moving in the right direction. I agree with you, Mike, but that's been the other part of it. Is you go to a Tech game, sometimes you feel like, okay, are we going to show up today? And that can't be the situation. You don't feel that way with Georgia.
Right.
You know Kirby's going to have these guys show up.
But Brent Key, as we said, and the fact that, you know, the money guys are coming in, and I think that, you know, after the initial shock for some of the fans, I think most Tech fans say, look, if you can make $10 million by moving a game a mile and a half,
yeah,
you know, even though it's historic Bobby Dodd, Grant Field, I get it. But the idea that you can then go and make that kind of loot and the current, you know, battlefield that is college football and NIL and transfer portal and all the things and the resources you need to maximize, you do it. You take it. You know, but you just hope that when they get back to getting back to normal rivalry home and home, that it does get back to where it was 23. I thought it was much better for Tech, a lot more, you know, blue and gold in the building than there was in years past.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Appreciate that. And that gets the conversation started, Jason. But, you know, real talk, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and ever lie to you guys on the air and be fake or phony about something that whether I believe or something that didn't happen. Right. This is where I'm at. This is what the deal is. And I love each and every one of you guys, and I know you love us. The numbers tell us as much.
You know, the ultimate irony, when I first moved here in 98, I was tighter with the Georgia Tech crew because I was friends with, you know, George Gossie was the QB.
You were hanging out with him.
O'Leary literally sounded like my high school football coach. And Jim Donnan, and I know that Jim is beloved, I always thought that Jim was like a used car salesman. And the football showed that. You know what I mean? It's sort of the next step for Georgia, from Ray Goff to him to eventually Rick, and then obviously where it is now with Kirby, where the Dogs fans feel that it rightfully should have been.
I agree. All right, man. Raheem Morris is on his way. Jake Matthews again going to join us, and we'll get the latest on what we're going to do this weekend against Seattle. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're live inside the Ticketmaster studios. Also, a little bit later on, Mike, we're going to get a chance to talk to Blake Monroe. He is a host for Texas football. We'll go a little bit behind enemy lines on this behalf as far as, you know, finding out what Texas is going to bring to this game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think some of the injuries on the defense and just the realization the defense it's just hard to replicate a record-setting defense for Georgia. We'll get into it. We'll talk about what he thinks about what we're bringing to the party in Austin.
It's 92-9 the game. Falcons finishing up practice for today. They got a couple more days as they get ready for Seattle. Does anything concern you, by the way, with this Seattle team? Not really, right?
Pass rush for us.
Okay, true.
They run the ball well. I mean, I assume they're going to get some of that. They are, according to Wes Drewham, and the stats bear it out that they're not great at stopping the run. We're both kind of porous as far as run defense. So I think we'll be able to get what we want with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan, you know, or Bijan and Tyler, depending on how you see it.
However you want it, man.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, you know, you look at this game, you say 51.5. They think the points are going to be scored by both teams, which I would agree with. But, you know, you talk about Kenneth Walker. He's got 5 touchdowns on the season. Bijan has 3, to put it in perspective. I mean, he's got a few more. And I said going into last week, I felt like they needed to get him more involved. And, you know, they end up losing the game. But at the end of the day, I know they tried and attempted. And I think they'll go back into this game, Mike, and say, hey, we got to get Kenneth the Rock. And I think that's something they're definitely going to try to do a little bit more of. We'll talk to Coach about Drake London, the offense, defense, all things, guys, as we're awaiting Raheem Morris here, as we do each and every week. We get a chance to talk to Coach. And also, Jake Matthews is going to join us a little bit later.
We were just talking college football off the air. I was joking around with Carl, and I said, you really, really, really believe that Dan Lanning and his staff had the wherewithal to put 12 men on the field with 10 seconds left? I'm not saying he's a liar. Okay, maybe a little bit. Anyway, the NCAA has come down with a new statement. Apparently, they're going to tweak it. After that, if you didn't remember, guys, the 12 men on the field, they thought the clock was going to stop. It didn't, and then that precipitated, obviously, the Ohio State quarterback making a play, which he regrets, taking a knee, and there's no time because they had no time to clock it. The game clock will restart on the next step. The ruling after the new rules is they're basically going to tell you that the clock will stop and they will reset the clock. So you'll have, you know, in other words, they will have a whistle and it'll be a dead ball. So that'll be interesting to see how it would have been. Perhaps Ohio State's able to get a field goal off if they had that opportunity, but when the precious seconds were wasted.
I totally agree, but this just tells you, like, the officials who are supposed to be up on everything all missed it. There was not one official on the field that was like, hold on, wait a minute. And all they did was like 12 men on the field and the clock, that, you know, it's gone. So I thought that going into next season they were going to do something. They saw that, and every other coach in America was like, oh, really?
The official language here, this is from Athlon. After the two-minute timeout in either half, if the defense commits a substitution foul and 12 or more players are on the field and participate in a down, officials will penalize the defense with the foul and, at the option of the offended team, reset the game clock back to the time displayed at the snap.
And that would have helped Ohio State.
Game clock will then restart on the next snap. So there you go.
All right, man. That's interesting. More college football on the way, by the way, after we get done talking to the guys here. Kirby was talking about Texas's defense. Our poll question is up at Dukes and Bell 929. I said to Mike, there's about, I'm looking at the numbers here. For the folks that have voted, a majority, what did you give me, Turtle? What did you say, 40, 50% of the folks that voted? Or is it more than that? 50-50 about the confidence level that you have for the Dogs going to Austin and winning this weekend. A couple of guys, Mark, hit us up, said, I believe about in about 30%. RJ ATL said, I think they got about a 30% chance to get this done. Mike, that's not the number I thought we'd be talking about.
Sean Hoger, you're not playing by the rules. He wrote 75-25 win. That's not an option. You need to select fully confident, but he's not. He's only 75%. But this gets back, and again, I wasn't trying to poke the Dog fans, but just, you know, I think there's some nervousness here, knowing that, you know, you saw what Texas has done. But again, I do feel, and you agree, you know, that the Georgia Bulldog offense, what worked against Alabama or maybe didn't work in that first half will maybe work against Texas because they haven't seen an offense like this, although the defensive backs for Texas are nothing to sneeze at, and their defense is strong in the trenches.
Yeah.
And good against pretty good against the run. Michigan couldn't do anything against them on the run game.
No, I know. I just wonder. This is for him.
Hey,
this is
man, look who just rolled in. It's Coach. What's up, man?
Rod just looked at my shirt. This is for him. Hi, Bassity. How are you today?
Who is it for?
That's for him, man. We got this ongoing feud. Hook him.
OU.
Yeah. How does that?
What's up?
How are you wearing a Texas for him?
Well, I'm a Texas guy. He is obviously an Oklahoma
guy. He's busting
his
balls.
I'm always busting his chops.
I thought you were throwing shots at the Georgia fans.
No, never. Although, you're trying to get me in trouble.
Now, it is interesting. Some Georgia fans have raised that point earlier today on the show.
I thought that's what it was about.
This is for him for last week. I got a card in the car for you, too. Condolences.
And we're going to talk to Jake Matthews. I'm sure he's really going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Raheem, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Great win.
Congratulations to you guys.
Three in a row. Raheem Morris joining us here in the Ticketmaster Studios, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. So, were you guys mad at halftime? Because I was a little mad at halftime. I felt like we should have been up more. I was like, well, were you guys upset?
No. So, I can't say you guys. It was people mad. There were people mad about certain things. Right. But for me, no. It's more about poise at that moment. So, like, when you go in at halftime, like, this league, this is a tough league. Like, it's very hard to win in. Right, so what you were mad at, upset about, that you didn't finish the half the right way. Because realistically, with that second quarter, it was going exactly how you would like it to go and what you want to happen. And then you give them the ball back with no timeout. You got to get a stop going to the halftime, come out, have the ball, and then put yourself right in position to go out and close the game out. But we gave them life. We gave them a little bit of a resuscitation at the end of the half, let them go down there and score. When you had a chance, really, 9 out of 10 times where you could see Clark pick that ball off, and we did not, right? And we had other opportunities within that drive. So, like, for me, it was less about anger. It was more about regaining the guy's poise, right? Because sometimes when you're a football team and you're learning how to win, you have to figure out how to close those moments. And that was one of the moments we failed at, and that was one of the first times we failed at this year, in a closing moment, you know what I mean? Because we've had the Tampa game, we've had New Orleans, we've had Philly, we've had all these moments where we've closed it and felt what it felt like and felt that exuberation of joy from a fan standpoint, from a coach standpoint, that when I got into the locker room, I knew that was a great time for poise.
Right. Yeah, and the big difference, 22-10, if you don't give up that that scoring drive. And Coach Ra's with us, the edge rush, and I know that we've checked all the boxes. Like, what's up with Cousins? He looks fine. Where's up with Pitts? Pitts is a bigger part of the offense. And now we're harping on the edge rush. Let me ask you this. We saw Ebba Cady get 6 sacks last year. Does he fit Jimmy? Is it things he needs to do differently, or how Jimmy likes using him? Because we love what we got with Judon, but where are we not getting, I guess, the other bookend to come and get the quarterback?
Well, I actually stole a sack from Ebba Cady this week. You know, he actually had a sack on the 2nd and 10. The guy walked out of bounds, and he touched him. I took the penalty. Didn't know it was a sack at the time. Ended up being 2nd and 20, which is the smart thing to do, but then you go back, you're like, oh! I took a sack from him. So AK has actually been one of our better pass rushers this year, and what he's been able to do, and he's been kind of playing sparingly, and he's got more and more play time as we go, to now he's one of the lead dog guys to go out there with Matthew Judon and try to get after the quarterback, especially pass rush situation. So we got to get more opportunities for him to do that. You know, and last game we had, I believe it was 13 hits. I think this is a PFF grade, but, you know, I forget the exact number right now because we're almost a week removed. But we had 13 hits. We had 3 hits on it. We had 13. We had 3 hits on a quarterback and 13 rushes and hurries, or whatever you want to call it. So we actually did a better job of rushing the passer. We just didn't finish it, right? We fell off one for a 20-yard scramble. I took away a sack with the 2nd and 10, taking a penalty to making it 2nd and 20, which I didn't know at the time. And then actually we hit the quarterback a couple other times, and we couldn't get him to the ground. And we got to finish those deals off in order to become a really good pass rush. And, like, hey, man, like, I'm all about that. That's going to be a focus point. And, like, you got to embrace talking about it, especially in these moments with you guys, because, like, I've done nothing but tell you guys the truth, right? We got to get better in that area. That's something that we got to focus on. AK's got to be more of a focal part of that, and we got to go out there and get those things done.
Yeah, the good part is we continue to win, and we're finding ways to get it done. The 2 turnovers were huge. Clark and AJ, I mean, all those things play a role. Coach Ra, today you were talking about, and I'm curious to know, I guess, why we're discussing changing London's designation with Drake, and I'm like, that's how it was explained to me. But what are we talking about here with Drake London?
What do you mean, changing his designation?
Well, I guess for the X, the Z, the Y, we use Drake in so many different ways. What is there something new here?
Well, with our offense, we can move around just about anywhere we want to move him, right? And, like, within the structure of the offense, let's call him a Z.
Okay.
Right? So he's our Z. Like, when he got here, I think he was starting off playing X in the other offense that he played in with Arthur Smith. He was playing the X. We got here immediately and put him at Z. We wanted to be our Z. We wanted to have that Puka Nacua, you know, that Cooper Kupp, that interchangeable piece type of deal that you can do with him. And he's playing a lot more for us inside, what some people would call as an F. So we're moving around, making him a focal point, making it harder for defense to key on him. And we're doing that with all our guys. And when you have a guy you want to do that with, it puts pressure on the other guys. And luckily we got a smart guy in Mooney, a smart guy in Ray Ray, obviously a smart guy in Cordero coming in, being they play all three. And those guys can move around and do different things for us. And I was trying to explain, we were talking about it, you know, from coaching staff, you get in there, you really give these guys grade, and you're like talking, like, hey, man, if we can just get a little bit more out of from Drake in this area, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, he's at the focal point of the run game a lot of the time.
Great run blocker.
He's 1, 2, 3.
Right. It's true.
It's somewhere in that. When we talk about the passing downs.
Right.
So, you know, for him, like, sometimes more could be less. You know, and, like, it's like finding ways to get more out of him. But maybe for us a little bit, it's like, hey, what can we take off his plate a little bit so we can get more in this area? But, again, he's a great player. You want to clone those guys, right? And we got a bunch of guys like that. And I'm just happy to have interchangeable pieces like that.
Coach Ra is with us here, guys, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. And we said to start the season, just like when you were a rookie coach in Tampa, there's a learning curve for everybody. I just think as a fan, to watch the points go up every week, and it seems like Zach Robinson, he's talked about it. He goes, oh, I got all sorts of plays I want to dial up. Just need more, obviously get more reps to get it going. How satisfied are you with the evolution of the offense?
I don't even want to call it an evolution, right? I just think every single week you got to have a growth mindset. And it's like just same thing we talked about with the pass rush. I think you come in and you improve certain things that you want to improve every single week. From the first week, it was protection. Right, TJ came in, like, got after us, and they had a nice pass rush, and they were on the cadence and wanted to fix protection, number one. Next was, you know, what it was third down at one point we talked about, and it's the growth mindset of getting those things together. And I think when you do those things, you got to add on. You can't fall off while you're fixing something else. So it's like the addition of the growth mindset that the whole team has, the offense has, the defense has, in order to get better and better every single week. And no different than the defense, right? The growth mindset of what we have in second halves of defenses right now, to close out games, to be finishers, make that a part of their identity, you have to say that has been outstanding, and it's like something that I love.
Yeah. Listen, we're getting off the field and we need to. There's no doubt. I know that the sacks are a concern for a lot of fans, and that's going to come. Coach Raheem Morris brought to you by MD Anderson University of Texas Cancer Center. Coach Ra, as we talk about ways to win, right, we ran the ball down their throat last week. Week before, we saw our quarterback throw for 500 yards. You've been on Super Bowl teams. You've been around Super Bowl caliber teams. Where is this team right now when you look at the makeup and the versatility of what we've seen through 6 weeks? By no means am I going to say we're a Super Bowl team, but you've been around those kind of teams. What are you seeing with us?
We're in a good place. You know, you're 4-2. You're tied for leading the division. You got the tiebreaker right now to put you on top. And you got to keep winning because you can control your own destiny. Right. The thing about this league is the only thing you can ask for, especially this early in the season, is to have the pen. And we got the pen, so we can write the story. So, like, that's the things you want for. The hard part in this league is when you're chasing. Right. And right now we got the pen and we got to continue to write our story. Right. But the only way you can do that is go through your process, go to practice, get to the games, find ways to win, and continue that growth mindset that we're talking about. So, like, that's where we're at. Right, if you start thinking about things that are out of your control or out of your grasp at this moment, you lose sight on what's the most important thing, and the most important thing is this Sunday.
The next matchup is Seattle, and we know that you know, Geno's had a great resurgence out there, and we see that certainly you got to find a way to try to keep him from moving around too much. Yeah. But they also, I'm not going to bore you with the stats, you probably know it already, but it looks like we may have some success running the ball against those guys. Just based on what the numbers say.
You know, again, every week's a different deal. You know, like their coaches are saying the same thing. Right. They're having a growth mindset in their run game and what they're going to do and how they're going to stop us. They had the extra days come off a Thursday night game. And, you know, we got to go out there and prepare to exploit what we can. And we got to go out there and prepare what we can take advantage of when they give it to us. And then sometimes you got to take what they give you. And that's what we've done the last couple of weeks, have been taking what people have given us. And it's worked out well for us.
You've coached wide receivers. You've coached great wide receivers. Metcalf's a big dude. How do we try to defend him? I know teams are doing different things, but just his physical stature allows him to do some different things on the field, right?
You know, I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like, that, AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out
right
first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it. And he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions. And you got to keep fighting. And the one thing we know about AJ, he's a fighter. He's going to go out there no matter what and keep going. And no better example than what he did last week, right? Staying in the fight, covering Deontay, and then at the end, boom, steps in front of the last minute, gets a pick.
I know one thing about Metcalf, because I know this drives coaches crazy. Players hate when we talk fantasy football. Carl, he does fumble a lot. And I know because we've got some safeties that love to
strip him.
It plays in some of the things we like to do. And again, seeing A.J. Terrell and seeing Clark Phillips get some turnovers, and we've been waiting to see, literally waiting years to see A.J. get a pick, that's got to make you feel good, too.
No, it's awesome, you know. But, like, you know, the reason he has the fumbles, obviously, he plays hard. And
right. He plays driving with the extra yard.
He plays with extra effort, and he plays that way, and that's how he's always been. And, like, it's our job to still go try to force those turnovers on everybody, not just one man, but, like, as many as we can get to get the ball back to our offense to create short fields.
What about the run defense? I know, and I guess if we were to ask you, what are our concerns as Falcon fans? Is it finishing, which you've talked about, and maybe better run defense? Are those two things that we could focus on, or at least say, hey, those are things that we feel like we need to improve on?
So how many yards did they get last week about?
Well, Hubbard had 92, but yes, they ran for 114.
So they had the 92 yards with Hubbard, and they really got a lot of it in the second half when they were moving the ball down the field, and we called up and held them to three.
Right.
Right. We got better in our run defense just by holding them off and stopping some of those things. We let a couple out leaky yardage there late, and we got to eliminate those. The 20-yard scramble can't happen. And if that doesn't happen, we're not at the 100 mark. We're somewhere in the 90s, and you're feeling better about the improvement of what you're doing every single week. So every single week, we've improved in those things. Our off-the-linebacker play, Nate Lamon coming back, all of those type of things up front. We're able to do some different things and how we want to play and how we want to not give away some gaps and be more gap sound, some of those things. So those are all part of the growth mindset. So I feel really good about where we're going and what we can do to improve that as well.
I know when we talk about the defense, we already covered like after the quarterback, the blitz thing. Is that just basically through feel, or do you design a game plan going into the week where we're going to be a little more blitz-centric this game?
Well, you know, it just depends on the game. We've had games out there where we were way more blitz-centric, to steal your word. And then there's been other games where, like last week, we kind of set back and we made them go the long way. And that was kind of the philosophy last week and what we did, particularly later in the down. Open up a couple more run gaps for you to do it when you're playing with two high safeties. But, you know, hey, you got to go find ways to win each week, and our guys are doing that.
Raheem Morris with this guy's weekly visit with head coach Raheem Morris with the Atlanta Falcons. Coach, any plans with Terry and this team to look to improve edge rush? We've seen teams last couple of days make moves. There seems to be more action around the league than in years past where teams are making trades. But for you and Terry, the front office, are you looking to improve the edge rush?
I think Terry is just crazy, as you guys know. So he's constantly devouring rosters, constantly looking to improve, constantly looking to do things. So nothing would shock me when it comes to Terry, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, and those guys getting together and figuring out something else and making moves. We were talking about this, you know, in the beginning of the season. Matthew Judon showed up, Justin Simmons showed up, because they're obsessed. And when you're obsessed with football and getting better and doing the right things, that's an awesome quality to have in the business. So nothing would shock me.
Right.
And my job, obviously, right now is to find ways to win football games and then to field questions when they come or field phone calls, so to speak, when they come and talk about it and explore. And obviously, our guys, I got the utmost confidence in those guys.
So real quick follow-up. So they would bring you the information, not you necessarily pressing them for it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go out looking for it. My job right now is locked and loaded, ready to go. You know, I don't have time to talk to different GMs. And
hey, I know you got to get back to work. Just as a follow-up, we had high hopes just from practice. Just from a fan standpoint, it looked like Braylon Trice was going to be something special.
Sure.
It will be something special.
Sure.
Did you feel that at camp this year, that maybe he was going to be a bigger contributor and would be doing some of the things you need right now?
I was excited. I kind of alluded to it last week when I talked about that interior people taking a little bit longer. And Trice was more ready-made, probably more ready-made to go right away. And obviously, he got the unfortunate injury. And it's great to have him back in the building and training and doing all the things he's doing with us right now. But I really look forward to him getting back and being a contributor for us.
Coach, what do we need to do to get a dub on Sunday? I mean, listen, third downs were a concern. They're not, right? They weren't. We're moving the ball in various ways. Run game was off the hook. We got turnovers. These are things that are building. We've done this the last few weeks. What do we need to do against Seattle?
You know, for us, we got to go out there and stop the run. They got a really good running back in Kenneth Walker. Got a lot of respect for him. They got Charbonnet out there as well. And we can't let them get that run game established, right? And that's what you got to go out there and stop. These guys have moved the ball in tempo and got to control their tempo. They got on the ball, getting the calls from the sideline, like you kind of seen in college ball with Ryan Grubbs, moving a bunch of yardage, right? So we got to go out there and limit those things. We got to continue to get turnovers. On offense, we got to go out there and continue to move the chains on third down, keep those guys off the field, win the time of possession game, which we've done the last couple of weeks, and find a way to win. And then, like, on special teams, we've been opportunistic, and, like, it's been fun to watch our special teams go out there and play because they're exciting, you know, blocking a punt or whatever you call it when it tips and goes that way.
Right.
That's a block punt in my book, but
yeah,
whatever you want to call that, it's like those guys have been exciting. I mean, we got a touchdown. We got two touchdowns on special teams. We have block kicks. We have, you know, forced missed kicks. We got a bunch of exciting things on special teams, so it's fun to watch those guys play.
All right, Coach. We appreciate it. And by the way, for those, we told our listeners, because you mentioned it, Michael Penix is helping us prepare for this week.
It's a secret sauce.
Because he's familiar with the with their OC.
He changed the card today on his own. He just looked at us and the card team and said, that is not it. This is how this goes.
awesome. Right, well, good luck. Let's go get another one, guys. It's three in a row for our Falcons. Three division wins. We got to get Seattle on Sunday. All right? Coach, thanks so much. It's Dukes and Bell. We're coming back here live at Flowery Branch. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.